Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Amy Loboda reporting from Fort Myers, Florida, and my guests today are Stein Brook, owner of Steinair, creator of custom aircraft instrument panels in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Tim Olson, an experimental aircraft builder based in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The two have recently teamed up to install an ADS-B system into Tim's RV-10 experimental aircraft. Before we get too far into this, though, Stein, could you explain to our listeners exactly what ADS-B, Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, is?
Well, without getting too technical, you can go to the internet and find all the technical bits and bytes about it. But basically, it was a system created by air traffic control a long time ago, to some years ago, to come up with a way to broadcast to aircraft additional and more detailed information about aircraft that are in the air to and from controllers, so aircraft could get more information about each other, more information about weather, more information about the ground, a lot of information back and forth between aircraft and controllers on the ground and other aircraft in the air. So bounce back and forth between aircraft and people on the ground. It just provides additional information in the cockpit, a whole variety of information and a different array of information. It's kind of still a developing thing right now. So simply put, that's what it does.
It's really, from what I understand, it has grown out of the need for airplanes to almost self-separate. We don't need radar if we have this ADS-B. Is that right?
That's kind of the goal. I mean, the goal is to be able to put, really the end goal of it was to put more airplanes in a smaller airspace and relieve the load on controllers. I think that's where it started out a long time ago, was to keep airplanes, more airplanes in a confined space, and let the airplanes manage each other a little bit better so you could tell when there was other traffic around you without having to just base it on your eyeballs out the windshield.
Yeah, and the key to all of this is the Alaskan Capstone Project, which happened back in 2001, where they equipped all the general aviation aircraft in Alaska with MX-20s. That was an Apollo MX-20 at the time, a multifunction display, and the Garmin ADS-B transceiver, and they actually reduced accidents in Alaska by something astounding, like 40% inside of a couple of years. And that really was one of the big impetus to bring ADS-B to the rest of the U.S., is what I understand. And now we actually have an NPRM that with a final rule due in April of 2010 that would say that all aircraft in the U.S. are going to have to be equipped with at least ADS-B out by 2020. That's my understanding of the FAA rules that I was doing some research on. 2020 sounds like a long time away, but 2010 really isn't. That's
no, that's
year.
True.
And what the kind of technology that we're looking at right now, though, is still pretty limited. Right now, you could either put a Garmin GDL90, which is almost $7,000, and an expensive TSO at PFD or MFD in your airplane for ADS-B, or NavWorks has come out with a non-TSO box. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tim could address that a little bit more than I can on the NavWorks box, but it is a kind of a new entry, or a newer entry of a box that's going to be supposed to be very affordable and very usable. But Tim's got a lot of experience with that because he's kind of working with those guys directly on this box and experimental airplanes. So Tim can address.
I was going to say that. Tim, did you find them for the first time last year at Oshkosh?
Yeah, actually, I was just walking through one of the hangars, and I was on my way to visit a different booth, and just happened to run right across them, and they were taking comment cards to find out what types of display screens that people had. They wanted to make sure that they integrate with as many people as they could, and they wanted to get a feel for what customers were actually wanting to integrate. So, you know, I left my my card in that said I had a Chelton system and that I really wanted to integrate that. And then eventually they contacted me about it, and I offered to help work with it, and that was a good step for both of us, because they got to learn a little bit about the Chelton system and I got to help get it working real well with the way I wanted it. How far do you want me to go into it right now?
Well, I was going to say, what my understanding from looking at the pictures on your website, which is myrv10.com, is that you started out with a portable unit. Is that correct?
Well, Bill Moffitt, one of the people from NavWorks, came up to Oshkosh because there's a tower there that transmits the signal. And I met him over there one day last year, and he just brought a portable unit at the time because we wanted to quick just verify to see if the way that they had their system out of the box would actually work with the Chelton. Now, like you mentioned, the Chelton system was what was used in the Capstone project in Alaska, and they did use the GDL-90 up there, as far as I've been told too. So, but the Chelton system has been ADS-B capable since way back that far. But when you're a manufacturer of a new product, you want to make sure that it works well with the system and that it has the same sort of standards and communication protocols. So we took their portable box and just hooked it up to display on my screen in place of my WSI weather. And the Chelton, you can automatically set it for ADS-B. We wanted to see what would happen. And sure enough, it all just worked right out of the box. It was still real preliminary on software that they were running, but I was able to display weather and read weather information at different airports and display traffic. And so it was just a first proof flight that we did. And it was just that one flight. And then I hadn't talked to him for a few months after that while they went back and kept up with development. And then later on, I believe maybe earlier this year, is when we really started firing up with one of the other more permanent installed models.
Excellent. Now, the permanent installed model, you had to form up a bracket and find a good place to put that in your airplane in the back, I'd assume.
All right. It's a little bit tough when you're trying to put it into a plane and just find a place to put it. Mine was an experimental aircraft, and I had it all painted up. I didn't want to drill anything through the skin that would be visible on the outside and have to do any touch-up work. So I had to look for good areas to mount it. They supply a bracket, and I imagine that down the road they'll have a few different brackets possibly for different types of installs. When I talked to them, they really wanted to try to find a good standard install, but I tried to explain that especially for the experimental market, there's just too much variation on where people mount things. So there's a few good places, and I just found one in the tail cone of the airplane so that it was back out of the way. It's a really lightweight box, so it doesn't really affect the CG very much at all. And so I just found a good place back there to mount it. The portable unit, right now what people are using that for is if you have a certified airplane and you just want to have ADS-B in your aircraft, you can use that with a variety of other systems, like even handheld Garmin GPS systems can receive the signal from that, can be fed from the portable, they call it a PADS-600 from NavWorks. And the reason I say certified planes, because if you're at present, it's not a TSO product, so you can't install it in a certified plane as a permanent product right now. They are looking to do that maybe in first quarter 2010 if they can get approval by then. But with an experimental, I was free to put in the standard ADS-600 and use that in my plane. So,
excellent. Thank you. Listen, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with FAA's Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Labota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Stein Brook, owner of Stein Air, creator of custom aircraft instrument panels, and Tim Olson, an experimental aircraft builder. The two have recently teamed up and done some work, and Tim's talking about his installation of an ADS-B system by NavWorks into Tim's RV-10 experimental aircraft. And now, Stein, you were instrumental in creating Tim's original Chelton instrument panel. Is that right?
Yeah, that was some time ago now. It's been a number of years. I don't even remember what year it was, but it's been some time ago that we figured out to put Chelton's and Tim's panel.
Okay.
So I think it's been 3 or 4 years now, I guess. I don't remember. But
Was there some planning, and I'm interested in the dialogue between the two of you, about forward thinking and about what these Cheltons could do further down the line? Tim, you were telling me you knew that the Cheltons could do ADS-B out of the box, and you were pleasantly surprised to discover that several years later, when you hooked the NavWorks portable box up, clicked a couple of buttons. In fact, that's exactly what happened.
Right. That was one of the things. I actually didn't have to do a whole lot of forward thinking in the planning because, you know, when I talked to Stein and first planned the panel, back then it was state of the art. It had all the features, and I really didn't ask for anything more out of it in the long run. It was nice that when ADS-B came, it just worked. That was something that I wasn't really thinking much about back then, but that's why I chose it. Some people would call it an old system, because it's been around since 2000 or so, but that just gave it a lot of time to mature, and that's why things really work right out of the box with it real easily.
Stein, we were talking, and you had mentioned that there are a couple of other EFISes that are ready with either Air Inc. 429 or the RS-232 ports to also accept some of these new boxes for ADS-B. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Chelton obviously was one of the early ones because they were part of the initial Capstone program. So they had quite a bit of experience about, you know, with it way back when that was started. But as time's gone on, ADS-B is kind of the thing that everybody's looking forward to now from the EFIS manufacturer's perspective and even the builder's perspective. So the more popular EFISes out there the EFIS manufacturers have found that they're going to have to make it capable to hook to this equipment. So two of the more popular units out there right now are from Grand Rapids Technologies or Grand Rapids Avionics in Michigan and Advanced Flight Systems in Oregon. Both of those units are working with NavWorks right now to interface with that box. It's kind of, like Tim said, still sort of in development or finishing out putting the final touches on it. But I expect that when everybody has their software done on both sides, the ADS-B folks at NavWorks and the EFIS manufacturers, that you should have some pretty nice interfaces for the equipment. You know, all that counts on the FAA and the country putting the whole ADS-B infrastructure together. But yeah, it looks like at least two of the more popular EFISes, I would see more of them, certainly Garmin and their EFISes. I can't discount them, but they've been around for a long time, and some of the Garmin portables. So in experimental aviation, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for interconnect with this stuff, not so much in the certified world right now, but I'll bet you in a short amount of time that even some of the certified manufacturers will come online pretty quickly to interface with it.
It's interesting to watch the progression. We've watched it with the EFISes and the certified boxes, and when Aspen Avionics came in at a price point that was easily retrofittable into certified aircraft, suddenly everybody wanted a glass panel.
Mm-hmm.
And the question would be whether we can, NavWorks can make a box. The difference in price is almost, what, 3-4 times higher for the Garmin versus the NavWorks right now?
Oh,
yeah, I believe that NavWorks is $14.95, I believe, with just a standard serial output. Another couple $100 if you want the Air Inc. output. And I think just under 7,000 is what a GDL-90 sells for. So
yeah, and size and weight are another thing. I mean, the Garmin box, of course, was kind of the first box made, so it's an earlier generation box, but it's rather large and heavy too, being a first-generation product.
Precisely. But just to segue back to the focus of this, it's not really, I mean, the radios are something very exciting. A lot of people out there are going to say, but I already have a 330X a Garmin with TIS. Why do I want ADS-B? And Tim, you can really kind of talk about that. How much traffic did you see when that lit up your Chelten?
I can tell you about that. It's a thrilling thing for me. I actually really was I like the TIS system with Mode S transponders, the GTX 330. In my location, I live near Minneapolis Air Space, just like Stein. And so when I go that direction, I pick up traffic all the time, and it's amazing on a flight to Florida or across country like that, especially if you go out east, how many traffic targets there are that actually can be a factor to you, and you might not ever see them or know that they're even there. So I was real thrilled with the TIS that I had. But I think if you can integrate with ADS-B, ADS-B coverage is really, really growing fast in many states and many areas, especially down by Florida.
Yes.
So you're getting a lot of ADS-B down there, and traffic is just probably the biggest benefit that you'll get out of it. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to work with Navworks so much. You can get weather, so you know, don't discount the fact that with ADS-B you're not paying any money right now. At least that's the way the rule is written so far. And yet you can get NEXRAD radar images in your plane on your panel, so that's a huge benefit in itself. But there is a little bit of a limitation with that, and that's kind of how I ended up going down the path I did in my installation. When you think about ADS-B all being from ground stations, the weather data that's being transmitted up, you might not receive that if you're on a faraway airport on the ground and they don't have a transmitter nearby. You might have to climb up to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet. I think if you look at the overall coverage map of what's intended for ADS-B, they don't intend to cover it down to the ground all over the entire country. So you may end up in areas where you have to be 5,000 feet before you'll pick up weather coverage. And to me, I've been flying with WSI weather for a long time now, and I've really enjoyed that. It's really been a great system. So when I worked with Navworks, I explained, you know, this is great that I can turn on ADS-B and have both. But what I really want is I want to keep my satellite weather for at least the time being until ADS-B rolls out. So we worked on a special TIS pass-through interface that actually made it a perfect thing with my GTX 330. As time goes on, the Mode S systems in the United States are being decommissioned. At the same time, ADS-B is being put out there. So what Navworks was able to do for me, and I'm assuming they're going to be able to do it for a lot of people from here on, is that they actually have found a way to use the signal that's coming out of the GTX 330, kind of process that and bring it into their box. And if they'll detect whether or not they're in an area that's actively covered with ADS-B, and if they aren't, and you're in a TIS coverage area for Mode S, they'll pass that data through so that you'll get all your traffic targets on the screen.
Well, that's the best of both worlds.
Right. So I actually now fly behind a system where, you know, I have the older technology that's going out, and in Minneapolis there is no ADS-B coverage. So I get my traffic coverage there, and if I fly across the state to Oshkosh, Green Bay, down to Milwaukee, you know, now I'm in ADS-B coverage, or if I'm not, I'm still in TIS coverage down in there usually. So, you know, I can fly from here to Florida now and have coverage in just a real good portion of the country. So it's great for while they're rolling it out. And since they integrated it that way, the Chelten system was a little bit limited in that if I turned on ADS-B, I couldn't have any other sources of weather. If you set it up for ADS-B, you got both. Well, with the special interfacing that Navworks was able to do, that's one of the benefits of working with a company that's really thrilled to interface with lots of systems. They were able to come up with a system that allowed me to keep it set up my ADS-B as a traffic only, like similar to a TCAS input function, and allow me to keep my WSI satellite weather for the time being. So down the road, I'll have the chance to fly my WSI and have my perfect weather coverage all over the country. And then as ADS-B weather coverage fills in, I can kind of make my own determination if the coverage is going to be adequate for my needs or not. But, you know, as far as your average Joe that wants to just get weather in the cockpit, it's going to be a huge benefit that you can get weather and all that airport data right there on the screen and not have to pay any extra money for it.
Yes, I agree with you. Stein, have you had much interest yet from people about ADS-B?
Yeah, we get asked about it really frequently, quite often, as a matter of fact, when people are installing, especially if someone's building an IFR panel. A lot of people ask about it. They ask about the, you know, the TIS traffic service versus ADS-B, and right now the ADS-B technologies aren't quite, you know, mature enough with all the packages to offer it to them right now. So people do utilize the MODES transponder or TIS traffic right now as really the only option, or some of the more portable units that are out there. But the traffic is something that, you know, if you haven't had a chance to fly around busy airspace and see the traffic that's out there, you wouldn't really appreciate it. I was never, back when Tim got his, I hadn't really flown behind anything with traffic in it, and I live underneath almost the innermost circle where my airplane is kept of the Class B airspace in Minneapolis. I went flying with Tim, and I quickly realized I think the average person probably misses about 75 or 85% of the traffic that's out there. So it's of a lot of curious people, or a lot of people are very, very interested in it for just traffic alone, because it's something that once you fly behind any of these traffic systems, you find out how much you really never saw.
Terrific.
Right.
So it sounds like Tim has turned you into a big advocate for some kind of traffic alert system in an airplane.
Oh, absolutely. I'm I'm sold now.
Excellent.
Yeah. As you can tell from my installation, I mean, the traffic to me was the most important thing. I think the weather is going to be fantastic. I've even told people in the just recent past that, you know, if you're limited on money, an instrument rating is a fantastic thing. Everybody pushes an instrument rating. But weather in the cockpit is just a huge, huge safety thing. But traffic in the cockpit is, I think, just as big a safety thing, depending on where you are.
It's wonderful that we're in the position now with the technologies changing and the EFIS systems coming online that are very affordable, that these panels can be built for really almost less money than a round dial panel. Would that be right, Stein?
Well, yeah, especially now with some of the lower cost units on the market, you can't even come close anymore to buying. If you were buying a full gyro panel, you couldn't do it cheaper than you can do it with an EFIS. And that's true for the flight instruments, and it's true for the rest of the instruments in the airplane. You really can't save any money anymore by going with traditional round gauges.
Well, you know, I never knew that I would see it, but it's 30 years flying airplanes, and I have to say that I really, really like the technology that I get to fly behind every day in my RV10, and
yeah.
took a little getting used to, but I don't mind all that information. I definitely relish it as well. Listen, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today on Managing Safety. This is Stein Brook, owner of Stein Air. That's www.steinair.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right, Tim Olson, who has a wonderful builder page, myrv10.com. Is that right, Tim?
That's correct.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and have a great evening.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.